We have been studying through the month of October the Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We conclude that sermon series this morning with this last part of this last chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I hope that as we consider the invitation that was raised from Andrew and the children's message to put on a new costume, that you will bear with me as we seek to figure out what that would mean as we look at this sixth chapter. Will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we give thanks for your word. May it be to us a light to our path, that we might hear it in new ways this day. In Christ we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you a very personal question to start with here. How did you get dressed this morning? Did you put on your whole armor of God as you woke up in the morning to decide how you would face this day ahead? It is certain that we live in a world that needs armor, that in the changing circumstances of life, our lives can change in an instant, and they will never be the same. A flash of wildfire or a hurricane or a tornado or a flood, the sudden and unexpected illness or death of a loved one. In this week, we think about, again, the disappointment of immigrant children seeking education and a path to citizenship, who have lived nearly their whole lives in the United States and know no other. The disappointment of that loss. We hear the news from Darfur that once again the rebels will not come to the table of peace. We need armor. It is a true truth that one of the key scripture passages for prisoners in prison is this text in Ephesians. A prison chaplain friend of mine told me this week that it is often the foundation of her Bible study to put on the armor of Christ, the armor of God, each day as they look to life in that prison environment. Paul tells us too this morning to put on the armor of God. And the good news of the gospel in this morning and in our Old Testament text, in the courage that Joshua is called to, is that God wills better for us and invites us to claim the power of salvation. To put on this whole armor of God is a gift from God, that we even have that armor to be prepared for whatever might come our way. So today we're going to look at that armor, and I'm going to see how much of it you put on this morning. At first glance, this seems to be a passage deeply set with fighting imagery. Isn't that what we think when we think of armor? Images of Braveheart or Gladiator or the Crusades. But as one delves deeper into this text, we see some very surprising things. We realize that we can overcome the struggle only through God's strength. The powers of evil tempt us to defect, to turn away from God. Notice how many times in this text we read those power words: resist, watch, pray, be alert. We've heard testimony this morning in our time before the worship service and also in the worship service to the power of God to help us overcome all things. The struggle, or literally the Greek wrestling in this text, is against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic spiritual forces of evil. We don't start that struggle in this text on the armor of God, but it's clear from the text that we must stand firm against it. The powers and principalities are very real, and they are destroying the life that Jesus wills for all God's people. And yet we hear from Paul, we are not without protection in that struggle. Jesus covers us through salvation with an armor. In the center of that text, we're pointed towards that grounding of it, that it's grounded in peace, to put our feet wherever, put on our feet whatever will make us ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Is this the kind of fighting language that you expect to hear when we begin to talk about the armor of God? As we walk forward into the world, we walk to proclaim a gospel of peace. This text in Ephesians is a powerful witness to the force of nonviolence and the opportunity that we have to truly prepare to live nonviolently in a violent world, to be strong and courageous, to put on the whole armor of God, to step into the fray, to not be afraid to proclaim life out of death. Tenney Gross is the director of the Institute for the Study and Practice of Nonviolence in Providence. I believe he's been here about 10 years now. Tenney used to be a soldier in the Israeli army, but today he moves into violent situations in this city with an active presence of nonviolence. He puts on this armor, knowing that there is a better way to diffuse the tension of our days, to bring true and lasting hope to the community. Paul says that this armor of God includes truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the Spirit. Okay, I hope you're ready to stay for the rest of the day as we explore this. We could spend a whole series on just this text. And we will continue to explore the text in our Tuesday evening Bible study, the final of our series on Ephesians. But Paul makes it clear that we must put on these pieces and allow them to live in our lives, to bring them to each and every day. What would it be like for your lives if you were to every morning wake up and consider each of these pieces that we read about in this text, to dress yourself in the whole armor of God as you anticipate the day ahead? What do you need particularly in that day? Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the Spirit. One can almost imagine oneself putting on those individual pieces and praying about that, because prayer is at the heart of putting on this armor of this armor text. Did you remember your belt of truth this morning? To remember that God is a God who saves, a God who wills to be in relationship with us and challenges us to live truth. What about the breastplate of righteousness? What is at your very heart and soul? Do you seek right relationship with God and live from that and with others who will pass through your life in this day to come? We've already talked about that Paul writes at the center of the text that our shoes shall be ready to help us proclaim the gospel of peace. Where our body meets the ground, peace should lead us, no matter where we go. And then there's this shield of faith. The word for shield that Paul uses in this letter is not the small round shield that we sometimes see that looks like a dinner plate that I've always wondered, what good is that except to keep you from having one hand to work with? But a great oblong shield which covered the full front of the warrior over the breastplate. This kind of protection is so needed in our society. Indeed, it is why so many come together in worship to seek that kind of protection, that shelter from the world in which we live, from the flaming arrows of evil, as Paul writes. And then there's that helmet of salvation that protects our head, that's at the top of all of our being. And as we think about it, maybe that helmet allows us the freedom to sense our own best thoughts of God's power in our life. Perhaps to intellectualize and use a lot of words about that. To ponder, to discern, to be reminded that God is God, powerfully in that gift of salvation. And finally, we come to that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. This may be the hardest one, because too often today in our society, the sword of God is used to slash anything in its path, to cut down rather than to build up. Certainly not the message that we've received from this month's study of Ephesians, of unity, of encouragement, of grounding ourselves in God's peace. Maybe we can see this sword a little bit differently. Perhaps as the Word of God cutting through the confusion of our day, making our lives more clear and leading us into the justice, the peace, and the grace that God intends in speaking to our time. That, I believe, is more to the point than the too often interpreted mowing down of those who oppose some understanding of Scripture, and more to the point of the spirit of peace and unity that is seen in this passage. And finally, Paul ends this text with the greatest protection of all, prayer. It is said that a day hemmed in prayer is unlikely to unravel. When we put on this whole armor of God, let us not forget that it's prayer that ties it all together. Constant, intense, and unselfish, Paul writes. Barclay warns us in his commentary against limp and half-hearted prayer and challenges us to concentrate our whole being upon God, to put on that armor in all of its fullness. So will you join me in putting on the whole armor of God each morning as you face your day, to be prepared to meet the challenges that come your way with the strength and a power that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away? Jesus himself enables it for us, this gift of salvation and grace. Amen. Please join me in our affirmation.